What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, All the Smoke, coming to you from Dallas, Texas. Jack, what's up, bro?
Back in Texas.
Yes, your stomping grounds. Not your city, but your stomping grounds. Yep. The earth is your turf. We got a very special guest today, someone I've admired from afar for a long time. Entrepreneur, businessman, father, owner, man of many hats. Welcome to the show, Mark Cuban.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
If not the
coolest owner.
The coolest owner of all time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Your name has come up in several episodes. Kevin Garnett, Steve Nash, Chandler Parsons, 2 Chainz, Muggsy, Paul Pierce, to name a few. But it was all positive stuff. And we just kind of wanted to give you a shout out because there's not many guys like you around that are really in touch. You know, obviously, you know, whether it's hobby or, you know, a job when you're an owner, like, I feel like there's a disconnect between a lot of owners and their professional ball clubs. And I really feel like you have a pulse, not only of your team, but of the city. Where does that come from?
I mean, I guess it starts just because, you know, I'm a ball is life guy, man. And, you know, I like to play. I still get out there and make an idiot of myself. But you're going to see me before games getting shots up, you know, enjoying the moment and enjoying owning a team. And I don't know. It's just once I got into it, and I also had some good mentors. You know, I had Dirk, I had Finn, I had Steve Nash, who came in at the same time I did and kind of guided me and, you know, took me in and showed me, okay, you know, here's what it's like in the locker room. Here's what we need. And I just listened.
And that's rare because, like you said, you listen to them. A lot of times when you're coming in and spending all your money, it's normally your way or the highway.
Yeah.
But for you to, like, say that, you know, kind of guys that are even younger than you are showing you the ropes and you're taking notes at the same time, it makes sense why the organization is what it is.
There's a lot of owners or that's been around longer than them that don't have a championship. So that's the
I only got one, right?
But still, so I don't have none.
No, I know. Yeah. I'll take it. I'm ready for more, though.
Current state of the Mavs, Luka's coming up on year 6. It seems like it's gone by fast. Last year, he was 32-8-8. Unfortunately, you guys missed the playoffs. What have you seen? What do you love about him? And what are you looking for? The leap, what leap are you looking for in him in year six?
Well, you know what it's like. I think, who was it? Jokic said, you know, first you got to be bad, then you got to get good, then you got to get humbled, then you get good again, right? And I think that's what's happened to us before. Like when we got beat in 2006-07 by Golden State, right? Humbled the shit out of us, and that put us back on a mission. It took us a few years to get there, but you know, I think the same things happen with Luka. He's obviously, you know, a top three talent in the NBA, and sometimes things come easy, and then you got to learn what it takes. And I think last year humbled all of us, and Luka's come back with a vengeance. You know, he worked hard this summer. He when things don't go well, you get a better understanding of the game. When things are going well, it's easy. You know, it's when things don't go well that you find out who you are, who your teammates are, who the organization is. And I think Luka, more than any of us, really took that to heart. His leadership skills have improved. His communication skills have improved. You know, he's learned from Dirk, you got to add something to your game every summer, and he's done that. So, you know, all the pieces that you need to do to be a champion, I think he's pulled those pieces together.
I want to back up a little bit. When did he get on your radar? Because obviously you guys make a trade draft day for him. How did he, when did you guys start hearing about him or knowing about him?
Shoot, you know, when a kid's 13 and he goes to play in Europe against grown men, you hear about it, right? And then you kind of question it. It's like, okay, it's Europe. You don't really know. And then the scouts were saying, look, there's a 16-year-old dude, 17-year-old kid that's playing against OKC, and he's fearless. Just fearless. And so then we started really paying attention. And it was interesting because, you know, our scouts liked him. Our analytics guys loved him, right? The scouts said, okay, you know, they had Ayton number one. Our numbers guys are like, this is the only superstar in the draft. Yeah, so that's where, that was really the impetus. And, you know, that trade, you know, we tried and tried and tried, and it was like 15 minutes to go before our pick, and I called the owner at Atlanta. I'm like, you're on picking, you know, Luka, and you know the guy you want, so let's just do this deal because he'll be there for you. We'll give you a pick, and, you know, instead of the general managers messing around, let's just get this done. And so we got it done.
You mentioned something interesting because I've always kind of been – maybe I don't know the game or business enough from this standpoint, but how much of it is analytics and how much of it is the eye test with scouting when you guys look at the player?
Okay. It's both. And, you know, analytics folks have got their perspective, and then you've got to have the eye test because some guys, they'd show up, the numbers are great, right? Particularly coming out of college. And when you just watch them, you're not quick enough. They played, you know, at, you know, they're 26 years old, right? You know, and there's just things like that. But with Luka, it wasn't, you know, he's not the world's greatest shooter. He's not a pure shooter, but he's a killer. And there's not a lot of guys that have that killer instinct that aren't afraid of any moment and want that moment. And that's the hard part to recognize, that the analytics don't tell you.
I'll take a guy that can hit a shot anywhere on the court than a pure shooter any day. A one hand three.
That was the most insane thing I've ever seen, man. The stuff, like, we were playing New York last year here, and we're down, and he had to miss the free throw, right, in order to give us a shot. Got the rebound in a one motion, put it up. I mean,
you can practice that 100 times.
It won't happen, right?
Incredible. This offseason, Kyrie Irving, 3 years, 126. What was the negotiations like with him, and what is your relationship with him? Obviously, he gets a hard, you know,
he gets a bad rap for,
you know, stuff sometimes out of control. Sometimes it's just him being him. But what has your relationship and experience been with him since he's
been here? I love him. I mean, it wasn't really much of a negotiation. It was like, tell us when you're ready, right? And, you know, you got to, you know, talk to other people, do what you got to do. But we're here ready for you. And I love Kai. You know, I say this all the time. Kai's the dude that you become friends with in college, that when you're sitting around in the dorm room, you know, or just chilling in your place, he's going to get into a deep conversation no matter what. You know, you could all be talking sports, and Kai's going to ask you, what's this really mean? What's this really mean to you? What's in your heart? And as long as you're cool with that, which I am, and Jay Kidd is, and the guys are, he's easy, you know, because his heart's always in the right place. Now, you might not agree with him all the time. There might be takes that he has that you're like, okay, Kai.
And that's okay.
That's okay. Like, that's, I told him, on vaccines, we would have had an issue, right? But hopefully that never comes up again, right. You know? And we've talked about it, like, look, there's gonna be stuff we disagree with, and as long as we respect each other, right. That's fine, mm-hmm. You know? And I respect him, not just his talent on the court, but how he connects to people off the court, mm-hmm. and how he connects to other players. You know, you see it all the time. Guys will swap jerseys, you know, they know each other. Kai comes up, it's not about the jersey swap. He gives you a grandma hug, mm-hmm. right? It's like mm-hmm. the hug your grandma gives you, that you know that there's more than just a little connection there. Mm-hmm. There's a deep connection there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, most people aren't used to that. Most people don't understand that. And so I like Kai a lot.
I love him. I go to war for him a lot, you know, through a lot of stuff. And I think what I love about him most is he loves people. Like, he cares about people.
Yeah, for real.
You know what I mean? Regardless where they at, like, just he'll walk outside and see a homeless person to go over there and sit down and talk to him. Like, he cares about people. And you don't have too many people, especially athletes of our caliber, that humble themselves to take their time to care about people.
100%.
You know, it's all about us.
But also, he does a lot of stuff, and it's not for the attention.
At all.
He takes care of people and donates and does all this shit, and there's not cameras
not
on
him.
When
somebody reached out to me, and it was an Indian basketball team, and they needed some money. And I'm like, and I just texted him, like, Kai, I'm putting in half. You want to cover the other half?
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
That's dope.
Yeah, and didn't think twice, just done.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Outside of health, one thing you feel like your team needs to do to be in contention for the championship this year?
I think just a little bit of time to figure out everybody's role. Last year we struggled with roles, right? Different people wanted different things than what J-Kidd had established. I think now we've got the roles. The hardest part for us is going to be rotations, because we've got a lot of depth. Mm-hmm. And two, just getting D-Lively and Omax some run so they get a little bit more comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, because you can't be a rookie, come in and just all of a sudden be the guy, right? And know exactly what to do. You got to go through those ups and downs.
He's showing a lot of signs, though.
Oh, no. Early. Boy, oh, boy. Well,
we talked to Tyson Chandler about him before he ended up coming back, and he was saying, like, I guess, did he say you or someone said there's a kid over here that kind of reminds us a little bit
sure.
of you, mm-hmm. and we would love for you to come back. But, yeah, he's been.
J-Kidd reached out to him, because he's a baby Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's even got the same shit to him, right? Tyson, you know, quiet, laid back, but when he dunks on you, you know he's a mean mm-hmm. dunker, right? Mm-hmm. And so D-Live has got the same thing. Omax is getting there.
But y'all can build the identity now with Grant and the rest of the guys. Y'all have some guys that can kind of play that tough role. I think that's been physicalness and a tough guy is something that y'all been missing, in my opinion, the last couple years.
Well, yeah, because there's guys that won't back it up.
Right.
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 And Grant's a talker.
Yes. Right? And he'll back it up.
Yeah, but he won't back down from anybody. Yeah. Right. And so that's good. Guys know it, and it sets a great tone. And it's like Luka, he's got Luka's back all the time.
Stars
need
Kai's
back, which you need, right? And so, you know, and D. Jones is kind of a little bit, he's not going to be a tough guy, mm-hmm. but we don't got guys that are back down guys, right?
Right.
We've got guys that'll stand up. Yeah, they're all competitors. Mm-hmm.
We've recently started doing stuff in the communities. We started in Sacramento. We did stuff with the Kings. We would love at some point to come back and team up with you and do a live show for your fans or your season ticket holders at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Point.
We can do something
we'll
fun.
We'll talk about
awesome.
That.
We'd love to. Yeah, we get out there in the community.
Awesome.
Go to a school or something and do something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something that I and a lot of all the teams appreciate, one reason why you are the go-to a lot of us, talk about how did the idea of coming about of feeding the opposing team? Because if y'all don't know that, for the audience and the world listeners, every time you play the Dallas Mavericks, whether you win or lose,
you win. If you win, you get to eat.
Because it's a full buffet laid out in the locker room: barbecue, beans, cornbread,
everything.
Biscuits, you name it.
Links,
all that, ribs. Just sitting there.
The best
in the
barbecue
room.
Sauce. I don't know whose barbecue sauce that is, but shout out to them. But it's good.
And right next to it is a cooler full of any beverage you would love. How did that come about, though?
Thinking I wanted to embarrass other owners.
Ooh.
That's what it was. I'm like, they don't even, because I would hear from guys, you know, we don't get this, you know, where guys we would trade for, you know, guys would tell me, I just went from the outhouse to the penthouse, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, okay, I just want to rub it in a little bit. And so I'm like, we're cooking for our guys, just make a little bit more and give it to the other guys. Mm-hmm. And I used to put in like really plush towels too, but y'all would steal them all. And so it was like, take them all home.
Yeah, no, that extra effort is definitely recognized. Like Jack said, you don't see it everywhere.
KG called it grandma's cooking.
Yeah.
Don Nelson said it's first class, then it's Cuban's class.
Did he really?
It's Cuban's class.
Yeah.
Nelly. Oh my God.
So putting PlayStations and all that type of stuff.
Same thing, right? It's just like, you know, it's like there's downtime all the time. And this is before everybody had a phone and everything.
You want guys in the gym.
You want guys comfortable coming in, right? And just during that downtime, it's like, okay, play some PlayStation. We had a TV in there connected to cable and everything. Now it's not as important because guys got their phones, right? But back then it was like, okay. And again, I wanted to embarrass every other owner. We got a plane, right? And the funny thing is with the plane, I used to tell everybody, and I told all the guys, it's like, tell everybody we got a weight room on the plane. Like, you can't have a weight room on the plane, right? But we would tell everybody. Yeah. We would tell everybody we had a weight room on the plane. And it was
we would have believed it around the time.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And we're still like one of the only teams. I think it's awesome. Maybe one other team has got their own plane. Yeah. And it's designed for 7-footers, right? Mm-hmm. So you can come in, you're comfortable, play cards, all the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. Talk to us about the process of the purchasing the Mavs.
Oh, my God. So I sold broadcast.com and I was a season ticket holder, right? And it was the 99-2000 season. I can't believe it's been that long. And I was there with my girlfriend, then wife, and it was opening night. And I'm like,
it was lockout?
No, that was 98-99. So the next season after lockout. Okay, yeah, next full season. Yeah. And I'm like, it's opening night. It's not a sellout. There's no energy in the building. I'm like, we're undefeated, right? I'm like, we got Nash, we got Dirk, we got Finn, we got Sean Bradley. And so I'm like, I can do a better job than this. I was like, ding, 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 ding. Now I can afford to do something about it because I never dreamed of opening a team. Never crossed my mind in a million years. So I'm like, okay. So I talked, Mark Aguirre was doing some stuff with the Mavs. So my season ticket rep connected me to Mark Aguirre, who connected me with Ross Perot Jr., who owned the team then. And 2 months later, 3 months later, I owned the team, January of 2000.
That's fast.
Yeah, it was really fast. Crazy. Like, and actually, I probably could have gotten the team for less. Gotten a better deal.
What did you get it at the time?
$285.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's turned out okay.
I was about to say it's turned out okay. It's trending north of billions, right?
Yeah, it is.
Hell of a purchase.
My favorite word, right?
Yeah, right.
It's crazy, but true.
The difference between the team now and when you purchased it.
Oh, the league is so different, right? I mean, you were around back then. Mm-hmm. The league goes through periods of time where the guys adapt to whatever it is that's going on from the business side, from the social side, from the competitive side. So back then it was transitioning from a banger world, right? Where you had the 90s Bulls and you had the Pistons and, you know, you still had Ben Wallace playing. And it was it was a bang, 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 bang business, right? And it was physical on the floor. And with Nelly, we're kind of the run and gun team. And with Nash, we were skilled and Dirk was getting better. But, you know, we were skilled. And the other thing that was really different back then is not everybody could shoot, right? You would always have one guy who was a defender and not even run to the corner, right? And then the star could always guard that person, right? Or it might be a big that, you know, would bang. You were Bruce Bowen, right? Bruce Bowen, you know, he got to the point where he hit a corner three, right? But with the Spurs, Dirk would guard Bruce Bowen, right? You know, you're there or you're playing, you got to guard you, but there was always someone you didn't have to guard. Mm-hmm. Like fast forward now, that doesn't exist anymore. Everybody can shoot. You can't be a player that, hey, I'm a great defender, I can't do anything else. Either you got to be vertical and block shots, or you got to be able to make a shot when the ball comes to you and be 3-and-D, or you got to be able to create a shot. And I think a lot has changed over the last 5 years in particular because of social media. Now, like we're talking, you got two 14-year-olds, I got a 14-year-old son, right? They're on Instagram or TikTok all the time watching dudes and everything that they do and trying to emulate that. Whereas when we were growing up, you know, maybe you saw a game on television, you know, and maybe you went online and, you know, looked at some stuff on there, but not like now or like on your phone. And so, and now, you know, there's coaches online and everything. So everybody has training. Mm-hmm. Like there was no coaches when I was growing up, right? You played basketball, then football, then baseball.
And played outside.
And you played outside, right? You played pickup wherever you lived, right? And so that's all changed. Now, for better or worse, kids play year-round.
Yeah.
And they've got all kinds of training and all kinds of stuff online that they can replicate. And, you know, like now I was watching some stuff this morning and I sent something to my son, you know, about, oh, here's a little hack for when you're playing in a game. That stuff didn't exist. And so the skill level of the NBA is night and day different than 20 years ago. Right. And that's really changed things a lot.
I feel like, and this is not a knock to any of the current players, because I don't personally know them, but I feel like the skill level is higher than it's ever been, but I feel like the IQ is lacking a little bit because it's so much one-on-one training and by myself and dribbling. And you see guys off the ball, don't know how to play off the ball, don't know how to cut, don't know how to screen and play out
of screen. For sure, they're just waiting for the ball.
Yeah,
right?
They need the ball.
And that's a lot of what we have to work on. I don't know that the IQ is, because we try to focus on
style, maybe.
Yeah, the style is different, right? Because everybody's got to be able to hopefully create and definitely shoot. Mm-hmm. And if everybody can definitely shoot, what do they want to do?
Right.
They want to shoot, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's where the game has changed a lot.
Last 5 years, we've had international MVPs.
Yeah.
And obviously, that looks to the growth of the game worldwide. Thoughts on just kind of the global expansion of
David Stern, David Stern, David Stern. And I used to question it because, like, back when I first got in the league, he'd be like, China, China, China. I'm like, there's no money in China. There's no money in China, right? I've still got to be there and we'll be around the world, make this a global sport. And I'm like, David, we don't make enough to pay a minimum player, like not even half a minimum. He was right, I was wrong, right? He's going like, you just wait. And so China grew, now Africa's growing, Europe obviously continues to grow, India they're building.
India,
it's a global sport where like, we're the first or second ranked sport in these countries where you just would not imagine basketball is being played. Mm-hmm. And that's to the credit of David Stern, and it's not gonna stop. Now the train has left the station, the Olympics, now you're seeing teams that, you know, are really high quality. It's not like the USA has got all the best players anymore.
Right.
And it's going to change.
Thoughts on the upcoming TV deal?
That's a great question, man. I think this next one will be good. I don't think it'll be as long as the last one. I don't think it'll be 10 years. I think it could be shorter. I don't know. They don't tell me. But I'm worried about the next one after that. Because if we don't get into the streamers, right, it makes sense for the streamers like Amazon and ESPN, Disney to want to work with us long term because we help reduce churn, but that's not a sure thing. That's not a sure thing at all. Because I think what people forget, you know, we said, oh, okay, the team's worth billions, teams are worth billions, people are playing billions. People forget, like, when you guys were in, the cap was like flat.
Yeah.
Right? Solid. It was just like 40 million to 50 million from 2000 when I bought the team. And there were years where it was down. You know, I remember when we got Jay Kidd sitting there saying, deuce, the cap went down, right? I got less money to spend now. And then in 2010, remember, New Orleans, no one would buy it. The league had to take it over. And so I'm not saying it's going to be like that. But the point is, it's not automatic that everything always gets better.
Right.
You know, interest rates are way up. The stock market isn't blowing up, right? When interest rates are up, that hurts the value, that makes it harder to invest in broadcasting and everything. And then you add to that, that old school television is dying, right? And streaming's taking over. So old school television, linear TV, cable, satellite needs us right now because we pull better ratings, right? Because what's really changed is like, and we see it with Shark Tank and other things that I do, like, it used to be, you knew that what shows were coming on ABC, CBS, and NBC, right? There was the big, you know, this big show, that big show. Now all the big shows go into streaming, except for Shark Tank. All the big shows go on Friday night on ABC. All the big shows go to streaming, right? And they're not going to linear television, so it's all sports on linear television. That's good in the short term, but it's not sustainable in the long term. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I think this deal from, you know, from, again, they don't tell me shit, but this deal will be good. But the next one is the one I'm worried about.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't Nick?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second-grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In-season tournament. Thoughts?
You know, my first thought was, why, right? And then my second thought was, why not?
Okay.
Why not, right? What's the downside, right? You know,
I was like, I agree with your first one. I'm like,
what's the point, right? Yeah. But if it gets somebody excited and you're going to have a championship game in Vegas and you can bring people in, bring sponsors in and bring advertisers in and all that kind of stuff, and it gives you something other than the All-Star game to pimp out. So I'm like, okay, let's just see what happens, and works in soccer, so it's worth trying. There's no downside.
Yeah. I liked a lot of people didn't like the play-in. I liked the play-in because I just thought it brought more excitement
earlier,
faster.
For sure.
So that's the idea comes from soccer? That's the idea?
Yeah,
that's
what yeah, because they do it in soccer all the time. Okay. All right. So like even the MLS and around Europe, they have cups during the year and all that. And even European basketball has got it. Remember, there's like the Euro Cup and there's the Euro League and they have different tournaments. You've got, you know, a league that's just Spain, a league, you know. So they do that stuff all the time.
For someone who's very in touch with just fans, players, community, how do you feel like the fan experience will change in the next 10 to 20 years when it comes to basketball?
That's a great question, too. You guys are ripping these out, man. You know,
shout out our guys.
Good job, producers. So there's a bunch of different levels there. One, we talked about television, right? Like, you know, we grew up, you loved the teams that your parents loved.
Yeah.
Right. Wherever, what city you were in, you know, I grew up in Pittsburgh. It was Steelers, Penguins, Pirates, right? There wasn't an NBA team. Come down here, it's Cowboys, Rangers. Let's go Rangers, man. Close this shit out.
One game.
You know, the Stars, the Mavs. And so you just automatically love those teams. But now my son is like, you know, and it's about the player.
All about the player.
More than the team, right? And so now we have to realize that teenagers are getting all their MBA from social media. And that's when I'm you know, talking the board governors meetings, I'm like, that's where we gotta go get the money because TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, they're killing it off of us. Like on old school, like I was talking to somebody like, well, why does the NFL kill you on television? Because television viewers are older, right? The average age, you know, is 65, 70, 75 now. And that those people are not on social media, whereas we dominate the NBA dominates the NFL more on social media than the NFL dominates us on television, right? And so that means we've got to stay closer to kids on social to really keep them connected to us, and that's a lot more work. And it changes all the time because our 14-year-olds are different than the 14-year-olds of 10 years ago, and it's going to be different than the 14-year-olds of 10 years from now.
Yeah.
And so that's going to change how we connect to fans, and then getting them into the arena, that I don't think is going to change as much. Like there's more digital, the screens are bigger, right? People are gambling, that changes a bunch. But when you come to a game, I was just having this conversation with our people last week, it's got to be more like a wedding, right? Where when you walk in, everybody's got to be hype about what's going on, right? There's a unique energy. When you walk into a game, what makes it different than watching the game is the energy you feel when you walk in. You guys feel it, right? When the crowd's there, you know the difference between a joint where the crowd is rocking and the music getting them going. And so I don't think that changes because that's what makes going to a game special.
Yep.
When that ball is in the air at the end of the game and you're screaming and yelling or everything stops, because you're waiting, like that Luka shot, right? Everything stops and then the whole place erupts, you know? And if that's a game winner, you're hugging people you've never seen before.
Right. Yeah.
That, you know, you don't ever want that to change. No. That's what makes sports special. But everything else is going to change.
Mm. Yeah, it has to. We crossed paths a few times, 2003.
Yeah.
With San Antonio, 07 with the Warriors. Even in 04, I just told them I came here with the Hawks.
Yeah.
I had 36 in the first half.
I remember.
We got an ass whipped, though.
Yep.
We got an ass whipped, though. But 2003, you remember those finals of San Antonio when Dirk was out?
Oh, yeah. Fuck, yeah. It killed me. Yeah.
Tell me, we was talking about it. You think the series different? Dirk doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, because
if you think, I even say that. And I was on the winning team.
For sure, right? Because remember, we were up. Nick Van Essel went off.
Nick was balling.
Oh my God, he
Tony
went off.
Tony Parker getting a business again.
Yeah, I mean, he went off, so went 40. And Nashi was good, Finn was good. And we were up against you guys. We were down 3-2, and we were up in the going into the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And Steve Kerr just went off.
He hit four straight.
And won the series for you guys. Won it for you guys. Now, if we had Dirk, you know, because
it would have been different.
It would have been different, right?
It probably would have been a 7-game series for sure. For sure. During that time, what was your assessment of Tim Duncan?
Oh, he was a man, right? I mean, obviously I'm a Dirk
fan. Him and Dirk were
back and forth, right?
Yeah.
You know, TD was, you know, Mr. the big fundamental, right? And there was nothing flashy about him. And, you know, he had his own way of talking shit that, you know, that I appreciated.
It was dry. It
was, yeah,
it was KG dry. Was telling us about that, right? The one or two liner.
Too late.
Two words.
Too late. Nice try.
Nice try, right?
Yeah. Nice try.
And Dirk would talk that shit. And Dirk would say that shit coming back, right? Yeah. And Dirk would like, circus, just a fucking circus. You'll talk to Dirk and he'll tell you all that shit more than I can. But yeah, not having Dirk, but you know, just the respect that we had because of the going back and forth and finally beating y'all in 2006.
Yeah.
Finally, and probably one of the best series ever. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to Avery, who was our coach at the time. I'm like, it's like a fucking war. Like, there was like no rest for the weary at all. Every game was a beastly battle. And who knows, in that case, if TD hadn't gotten hurt going into the overtime, it might have been, because at that point, Sagana Jop dominated. If TD was hurt and Sagana Jop came in to play center for the overtime, and just
could have been trouble.
How much did you hate us in 07? Get it out.
But you know, get it out. Let me just tell you, I also had one of the best moments as an owner, Dan, right, in Golden State. So, we were playing you guys. Obviously, we were the favorites. We had a great year. But you guys had crushed us during the season.
Yeah.
You guys had beat us.
We felt good.
Yeah. No, you should have, right? But two things, right? Two things. That was the Tim Donaghy year.
No question.
Right? So, here's something you probably don't know. There was a game y'all played against the Bulls. And you guys had Andras Biedrins, right?
Yep.
And it was a game that ended up going into overtime. Biedrins is in the defensive three, right? Sitting there. Tim Donaghy reaches out, pushes him out of the paint. Literally pushes him out of the paint instead of calling D3. Now, it was a tie game. If it was D, if they had called that D3, right, Ben
Gordon
goes to the line, right, 80-some percent free throw Locked shooter, makes that three. Now you guys got a foul, and that's you guys just barely made it in. If he calls that the other way,
game.
You don't make it into the playoffs at
period.
All.
Period.
Wow.
At all, right? So that was number one.
Wow.
Right?
we had questions about him when he was throwing us out. He threw us out.
Who's here,
it?
You.
Here.
Not us. You.
And he threw me and BD out in the playoffs against y'all. Yeah. Game two.
Yeah.
Me and Nelly. He threw us all out.
Yeah.
Remember, you got to watch that guy.
Hey, I walked you to the back and put a towel in front of your face because he was cussing everybody out. So I wasn't out the game, but I just walked because you know you can exit right behind our bench. I had a towel in front of Jack's face so he didn't get us in no more trouble walking out.
But wait, but here's the fun part, even though we lost, and that was brutal. back in the arena, right? Every time I walked in, like, so guys would be out on the court warming up before the game. I would come through the tunnel, and the minute I stepped on the court, everybody would be going, Cuban sucks, Cuban sucks. I walk out, they stop. I walk back in, Cuban sucks.
In Golden State?
In Golden State. It happens in San Antonio, and it happened in Golden State, which I love, because I'd walk out, see if they do it again. I'd walk in, they were watching for me. You guys would look around and go, what the hell is going on? And it would happen in San Antonio, too, like, because I sit right on the bench, right behind the bench, and I'd get the Cuban sucks, right? So I'd wait until TD was at the free throw line at the end of the game, I'd stand up, and they start going, Cuban sucks. Right. And he's looking around, go, I'm on the free throw line, what's going on?
Yeah, Nelly was so ready for that. He had us so prepared. And
everyone I've never seen him like that.
And everyone else thought he pretty much, after we won that, it was like his champ.
He didn't give a shit about nothing.
We would hear a little bit about it. What was the issue, if you can speak about it, between Nelly and either the organization or Nelly and you? Because
It fell apart on the Dirk stuff, right? Okay. Because I was like, Nelly, you know, the doctors say he could play. He was like, well, I had that injury, you know, the same injury. I'm like, Nelly, it's
medicine's
not
a little different.
Yeah, things have changed. Well, I'm like, okay. And that was it.
Really? That's it. That's crazy.
Now that we're not sitting in the locker room smoking cigarettes, drinking beers at halftime like y'all was doing. You know what I'm saying? It's good. Got different doctors and stuff,
I want to back up to 06. You guys go up 2-0.
Oh, you guys are just killing me with all this.
It's just this one area.
This is the gray area.
And then the rest is you and Dallas celebration. But up 2-0, D Wade goes on a run that we
forget
hadn't
that.
Seen
okay, run. So
talk
here,
to us about this.
So I remember standing up behind the bench. We're up 2-0. We're game three in Miami, And it's the third quarter and we're up like 14. And I remember thinking to myself, we might sweep these motherfuckers, yeah. right? And right then, Udonis Haslem steps in front of somebody, gets a breakaway, and they start coming back. And then this is when we had Damp. And there was a play like a couple of possessions later, Shaq literally pushes Damp out of the way. Pushes, and they call it on Damp. And I'm going nuts. Like, what the is going on here? Shaq, even crazier, hits two free throws.
Oh, and yeah,
I'm like, oh,
bad.
I celebrated yeah. too early, right? Oh, shit. Oh, and then, man. you know, Bennett Salvador just turned D-Wade. I mean, he shot more free throws in yeah. like one game than we did the whole series, mm-hmm. which was just insane. And you had T-Mac and other people saying, okay, something's up with this. And mm-hmm. obviously Donaghy. Now, do I think it was fixed? I don't know if it was fixed, but I certainly think that all the 50-50 calls were not going
to
go
well. You have to think about it, because if he was in the game, he has some type of influence, because that's what he was on. So yeah. you have to think that.
Obviously this could be a little touchy, but you know, coming from someone who was so keen on everything that involves the game, we had a hard time believing that it could be just one person, especially when kind of what was going on wasn't, and we're not trying to point no finger to start no shit, but to me it was hard
to believe.
I really
think he was the only one that gambled on uh-huh. the games, right? And but the rest of the refs were human, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and so when they get pissed at me, like some of them liked me, mm-hmm. and I could tell the ones who liked me mm-hmm. because I was trying to change things, and were like, this shit needs to change. Mm-hmm. And there were others that just hated me.
Yeah.
Hated me.
And would hold it against your team.
Yeah, and they would hold it. And you know how
yeah.
that works.
Yeah, they're yeah. human, yeah. Any truth, we had Paul Pierce on our show, and he told us he was considering, the one time he considered leaving Boston was trying to come to you guys in 07.
We had traded for Paul Pierce. We were on the trade call. For Paul Pierce. Now, it wasn't 07 because we had tried to trade. It was later in his career. I forget which year it was. Maybe 09. But we were on the trade call, and it was a three-way with Boston, Atlanta, and us. And we had told Atlanta what the deal was going to be, but we didn't tell them it was with Boston. And we get on the trade call, and Atlanta says, no, you got to throw in a first-round pick.
Who were some of the people at the time?
I forget all the other pieces. But it was Paul Pierce coming to us.
Oof.
It was done.
Oof.
It was done. And they said, you have to throw in another first. And we didn't have another first to throw in.
Around the same time, you were doing Dancing with the Stars.
Yes, sir.
Talk to us about that.
Twinkle Toes.
Yeah.
I'm good. You go back. Google Mark Cuban Dancing
said,
with
go
the
watch
Stars.
His film.
I'm telling you.
Run the tape back.
I got some skills. I'll surprise you all for sure. That was fun. That was the scariest thing I've ever done, by the way.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, doing a live ballroom dancing in front of 22 million people. It was like, oh, it was insane. But I know where you're going, because it was the same time I was talking to the Lakers about Kobe. And there was this dude who was a PA called, his name was Elvis, right? And he kept on, because we were shooting in LA, and he said, Kobe's the beast. Kobe's, you know, it's all Kobe, all Lakers. And I'm like, hey, Elvis, guess what? I'm talking to the Lakers right this second, right here, and we're close to doing something for Kobe. And I literally thought we had something done. And Kobe had to go convince Dr. Buss that this was going to be a good deal. And Palinka, who was his agent, thought it could happen. But Kobe, you know, Mitch Kupchak talked him out of it. And so I thought it was done.
Because I remember, too, they were talking about there was some Clipper talk too, when the Clippers were going to build a facility or the stadium out in Orange County for him and everything.
And he was ready to go too. Yeah. He was just ready to get out of there. All this shit with him and Shaq was a mess. And so he was ready to go, but it just didn't happen.
Mm. Any cool stories or you have with Kobe?
Kobe and I talked more after he retired.
Business.
Because, it was all business stuff, right? I would text him, and like, literally, you know, there'd be times we'd be both watching a game or something and text back and forth, but just talking business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
the one thing we found interesting when we talked to him. When we were talking to him before the last interview we did with him, he's just like, you know, this last 20 years, I don't want people to remember me by that. Like, watch out for this next 20 years.
Right. I would tell him, I'm like, now you're on my turf, bro.
Yeah, right.
You know, you were the GOAT then? Come on.
Uh-huh.
Right.
A lot of tough stuff happening on that journey to 2011. To me, that was one of the greatest journeys to get there, beat a lot of good teams. Yep. Talk to us about that journey. You guys end up beating the big three with Bron, D-Wade, and Bosch, but that was a hell of a road.
It was an incredible run. Like, we started that season like 29-5. Nobody was beating us. Then what's his name? Karan got hurt. And Karan was our number two scorer. And then all of a sudden, we didn't have a scorer, a second scorer. And then Dirk gets hurt. And we go on this road trip in like January and lose six in a row and get obliterated. So as we had no Karan, even Roddy Bubois, who's a guy who was really coming on, was hurt. And so we were struggling. And we get to the playoffs and literally, you know, we were playing Portland and it was, they were favored over us and we were the higher seed. And so we were playing LaMarcus and Brandon Roy and that crew. And we win the first two games here. We go up 20-something there in the third game. And Brandon Roy puts on the last show he ever put on. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude was super skilled, but, you know, it, with his knees, and just comes back and beats us single-handedly. And we lose. I think we lose the next game and then come back and fortunately close it out. But that having our, you know, just being a destroyed like that by Portland, instead of putting us down, really like had helped us figure it out. And I think we wore them down, won that series,
smacked us.
Yeah.
Swept us.
Yeah.
Beat the dog shit out of us.
That was insane. Cause I remember sitting there going, oh, it's the Lakers.
This two team times. We're coming off back to back championships.
Yeah, back to backs. Mm-hmm. And everybody, no one gave us a chance. And so we go there and playing in your court, and no, where did it open up? We were the higher
seed. You guys were the higher seed.
Yeah, so we played here first and had to come from behind twice, right? And came from behind, and then we go there, and what was that? That was the Corey Brewer game, I think, where we were down like 15 and Corey Brewer just went off. And no, we started there because we closed it out.
LA, because you closed out.
Yeah, we closed out.
Bynum had that foul.
Bynum had that foul on JJ. Yeah. So we go there and we come down from behind both games. And as I'm walking out, I go to Jack Nicholson, who sits right by the visitor's bench. I'm like, you need tickets or anything in Dallas? Rather, you just let me know. He goes, we're coming back. Don't worry about it. I'll see you back here. Then we get to game four. We win game three. We get to game four and we can't miss. We're up like 20-something at halftime.
Jason Terry hit like 10 threes or something.
10 threes, like 9 in the first half. And I told my buddy who sits next to me, he's always sat next to me, I'm like, if you touch me and wake me up out of this shit, I'm going to beat the shit out of you because this is a dream and I don't want to wake up. And then bind him towards the end, right? Yeah. And then Jerry West even called me after that. And he goes, you know, that's just not, you know, Laker basketball.
Right.
It happens. Like, yeah, and then, J.D. doesn't care. J.D.'s a tough dude.
And then a young OKC in the Western Finals, right?
Yeah, they
had
that whole crew, kind of like the Clippers, this year's Clipper team back then, except for KD,
right?
And they were a tough squad, but they beat us the first game, I think, and then we won the rest.
Yeah, and then in that finals, what did Tyson say? Someone hit the shot in front of the, D-Wade hit the shot in front of the bench and kind of rubbed it in, and then you guys
then went up 15.
And you guys were on that run.
And he looks at us and, you know, does this and this and all this shit. And
turned on the light.
No. And then what people don't know is like that they won the first game. And then that second game when we're in Miami, halftime, that's that same game. They're up whatever, 15 or whatever. And what's his name? Oh, my God. I'm spacing fucking the GM, Pat Riley. Right, Kim. Pat Riley says to me at halftime as I'm walking through, because you know you had to walk through
the middle
part right there. He goes, not long enough, not strong enough, Mark.
That's what he said to you.
We're just too quick and too long. I'm like, I didn't say anything bad. It's Pat Riley, right? I'm not going to disrespect him. I'm like, okay. And then we come back. And
damn. Boom. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sweet.
It was nice. And then the cool part, because Mickey Aronson's cool dude. I like Mickey a lot. And he goes, you know, we close it out and we're getting the trophy down in Miami. And I see Mickey shakes my hand. He goes, oh, the irony, right? Because we were supposed to beat him in 2006 and then they were supposed to kill us in 2011.
Crazy how that works. Obviously, a ton of accomplishments in the business world. Where does that 11 championship rank for you?
Oh, I've got Larry O'Brien in my office staring me in the face every single day, right? Mm-hmm. you know, the good news is it was amazing. The bad news is it's been 12 fucking years, right? You know, and so, you know, it's like, yeah, I went out with the hottest girl in high school, right? That don't do you any good anymore, right? And so, so now it's frustrating, but I think we're on a good path here tonight.
I don't know if you remember this, but 2014, Rick Carlisle was your coach. And he was doing TV in the summertime. He came down to San Antonio. He was like, I'm going to go back to Mark because I want you to come to Dallas. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay. Sure. So it was
a
real
thing. There was a couple times because you had Dan Fagan, rest in peace, Dan, right?
Rest in peace, Dan.
Yeah, and Dan always like, what about Jack? What about Jack?
Dan was always working.
Always working. Yeah, rest in peace, Dan. And Dan and Rick were close too. And so. Yeah,
that's how I got paid in Indiana. Through Dan and Rick.
Yeah.
So since we're talking about what could have, would have been, DeAndre Jordan situation. And then you end up getting him a couple years later, but that was a fiasco because I remember talking to you on the phone about it, and they put the full court press on him. They went out to the Clipper Corps went out to see him and didn't let him out until he changed. But DJ told me he was coming to you.
No, DJ told me he was coming. He told Danny was coming, his agent, right? Right. And I remember we just sat in, it was a hotel in Houston. We were in the lobby and there was a dude named Steve who was DeAndre's money guy who was like, I thought this thing was done. Mm-hmm. And the weird part was the dude who was bringing us coffee and everything, you know, Belitza that played in the league, mm-hmm. it was his brother. It was just like just weird shit. But we couldn't get a hold of DJ. He just went radio silent and then, you know, the rest is history. And you know, DJ made the choice he made. That's up to him. Now mm-hmm. he's got a ring, and so mm-hmm. he can talk shit and do whatever he wants.
That was an interesting time. One of your anything that we may have slipped our mind, your best, funniest, viral moment courtside when it comes to refs.
Would you remember how we met?
Was it the thing in Sacramento?
Yeah, the celebrity basketball game.
The
Maloof
thing?
So we played.
And we went out and partied that night too. Had a good time. Good time.
Yeah,
so but anything with refs or April Fool's thing?
Oh, there's so many. Oh, yeah, like, the April Fool's thing. That's still historic, right?
Yeah.
So our guy, our marketing guy, Matt Fitzgerald, said, Mark, we want to do this April Fool's joke. And we've already checked it with the refs, and they're cool with it. We're going to bring in a fake ref, and you're going to get into a fight with them.
Shit.
And so we told everybody. We told, you know, we told the team. We told Nelly. We even told Del Harris. And I'm like, okay, cool. This is gonna be hysterical because this is when I'm yelling and screaming and everybody thinks it could be real. And so the timeout happens. We're playing New Orleans. The timeout happens and I see the fake ref come out. And he walks over, start talking. Then he gets real animated. Then I push him and I could just hear 20,000 people going nuts, right? Because they didn't realize it was a fake ref.
Right.
And then we started wrestling and everything. And Del Harris is like, in shock, is like, you forgot the memo, right? And so then Evan Eschmeyer comes, like, separates us, and we start, you know, cracking up. And
that was funny.
Happy April Fool's.
You heard that name.
I love it.
Evan Eschmeyer.
I
heard that a while.
Here in New Jersey.
Something we found really interesting, you know, obviously because I lost my mom to cancer. When you went into the luxury tax with Muggsy Bogues and gave him a 3-year situation when his mom was going through that, just kind of speaks to who you are as a man, always big and bigger than basketball, but can you speak to that?
I don't remember the whole story, honestly. Okay. It was like my first year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we traded for Muggsy, and he was like, I can't report, and you know, and his contract wasn't fully guaranteed, and I just guaranteed it.
Mm, yeah. That's big. You are someone who really likes to get former players back involved in your organization, to name a few, Mike Finley, Sean Marion, Rolando Blackman. What's your philosophy behind that?
So that's another interesting story. Like when I first got into the league, there were like, you were in the 90s, right? You played. So you knew there were like 3 or 4 coaches, right? And there were no development coaches whatsoever, none. And I get to the Mavs, I'm like, this is insane, right? We spend more training people on software than we do supporting development of players. Mm-hmm. And so I go to Nelly, I'm like, every former Mav, get 15 of them. Because, you know, former players always want to get back into the game, right? I'm like, we're not really going to pay him. We'll pay him like 25 grand, mm-hmm. but they can come travel with us, be on the court before a game. Cool. You know, Moreland Wiley, you know, was our first true head of development and stuff. And the rest of owners hated it, right? Because players loved it, right? They always had somebody to rebound, somebody to work with them, some develop them. And then all of a sudden, other teams realize we're winning, right? And this shit's working. Our players are getting better at a whole lot faster pace than their players. And so that kind of started it. And that changed the whole league. Like, I still have guys come up to me that are head of player development at other teams and like thank me 20 some years later because there were no player development. And then we took it even one step further where we got a bunch of interns that are just on the court all the time. Right. So instead of having the development coaches come back in, you know, they'll work with the players, but have somebody, interns that can like run plays and just, you know, run through things just to help them understand the game, you know. And then beyond that, you know, the guys who really contributed whatever they want. Right. So when Trix wants to do something, yes. TC wants to come back and work. Tyson, yes. Dirk, obviously the GOAT, whatever he wants for sure. And so all that stuff, we're just down with whatever, you know, you got to support.
I love it. Brief stint when you first got the team, Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, 10 days.
What was that? What was that like? And did he really stay with you or is that just urban legend?
No, it's true. He had lost his driver's license. And so I have a guest house behind my house. I'm like, just stay there. I can take you, you know, just. And it was funny. I loved D-Rod, right? He was just, and he would come up to my house and he would just sit there watching cartoons all day, for real, you know, or he'd sneak Carmen Electra through the back door back to the guest house. But he was a cool dude, right? But, you know, we had a team vote because we couldn't rebound at all. And we're like, well, he's a rebounder and he needs a job. And the guys, Nelly had the guys vote on it. They said yes. And we were playing SAC one game and he was supposed to guard Chris Webber. And Nelly's like, guard Chris Webber. And instead of guarding him, he just pointed at C-Webb and C-Webb, boom, hits the jumper. Bet you can't hit that again. Boom. And the other guy's like, what the fuck's going on? Yeah, that was the end of it.
So, that was the end of it. Motherfucker didn't want to go.
Let me just tell you, I learned more from Dennis Rodman about PR and marketing than I learned in any MBA class, anything I've ever done. The man was a master of marketing.
Interesting.
Like, he knew, like, we'd go place. He was still super hot then. We'd go someplace and there'd just be masses of people that were just excited to see him. And, you know, he'd be like, okay, you just got to keep on refreshing and coming up with new stuff and letting people know you're going to be there. And so him and Paris Hilton are my two like marketing and PR gurus. But D-Rod was like a machine. He knew exactly what he was doing.
Interesting. 2020, you posted a photo on Instagram of Delonte West. Can you share your connection with him and your efforts to try to help?
He played for a year and we knew he was bipolar. And it was during the pandemic that someone sent me a video of him panhandling at a corner in North Dallas. And I figured out where it was. And so I went and got him. I mean, I would have done the same thing for any player. It wasn't just, it was Delonte or we had a special relationship. And it was like, and so I put him in my car and got him a hotel, got his mom's number and told her what's going on and said, okay, let's just get you some help. And so we took him down to Rebound that Jason runs and we thought, okay, he was on the path. Jason saying, this stuff's working, he's in Florida, right? He's doing all the stuff he's supposed to do. He's doing these, you know, events and stuff, you know, that are supposed to help him rehab. And then he just took off. And then we're like, okay, it's not, you know, unusual for somebody to have a relapse, whatever. It's a hard process. Let's go get him again. And so Jason Williams goes out and finds him. We get him again and I set him up again.
White chocolate, Jason Williams?
No.
Jason Williams.
Yeah, he went through his own shit, right?
Yeah,
gotcha.
And so we set him up again, put him in Rebound in Florida, takes his stuff, throws it over the fence.
Gone.
Done. his mom would be like, one more time. One. I'm like, I can't.
No, you can't.
Yeah. It's tough, man.
We were here for the big three, and that was my first time seeing him. I seen him. That's when it actually hit the internet. We were for big three, and we saw.
Yeah, I remember
him leaving the big three, and that's when I was like, God, he has it. And what I respected you so much for doing it, but what killed me was how many people that you play, how many teammates that you can play with that don't have the heart to reach out to you.
No, they do though. They do. Like I heard from a bunch of his teammates, yeah. Right? From St. Joe to, you know, guys in the league.
He don't want the help.
He just, you know,
It wasn't registering.
It's just, he has a sickness, right? He's bipolar mm-hmm. and you know, I think he wants it, you know, and I think part of it is just, you know, he's still gets pressure from his family, yeah, you know, to, I mean, I was hearing from his family, he's 39 years old, you know, all the shit he's gone through. Oh, he can still play.
No, he needs to save his life. Playing.
He couldn't make
it. And that's what I was saying.
With the big three.
Mm-hmm. Right, he right. With just, that. Yeah, it's tough, right? It's, mm-hmm. And so, and then he no-showed the big three.
Yep, no show. Because
you guys were ready, he could have gotten paid, right?
Could have got drafted.
You guys were ready just to help him.
Somebody was going to draft him just to give him a job.
Right, exactly, yeah. Right, exactly. And so, you know, he didn't show there. It was just like, lots of guys wanted to help him. He just couldn't help himself.
If you're out there, man, we're sending love to you, bro.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made Raisin's dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me!
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you, here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope.
I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun.
And I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since we're on it, what's your take on Big Three?
I mean, I like it, but it's a tough business.
Yep.
You know, like if you go back and look like during the lockout in the 90s, when Patrick Ewing and everybody tried to put on a traveling show, right? It was impossible for them to sell tickets.
Right.
It's hard to sell tickets. Ooh. It's hard to sell to anything. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I've known Jeff Kwanowitz for 20 some years. Mm-hmm. Super smart guy, Cube super smart, both sharp business guys. And I, you know, it's just going to be hard because there's no anchor for it.
Right.
Right. You guys going out there and watch you play, like I've gone to the games, mm-hmm. right? And it's fun, right? And I like to see the guys and everything. And you get good crowds, but it's hard to get the revenue from those tickets.
Consistency too.
What's that?
Consistence crowds. It's hard to get consistent. Right, because
sometimes it's like, oh shit, you know, people are like, we helped, we tried to, like when you guys came here, we tried to do all we
y'all
could.
Y'all did everything.
Yeah,
everything.
We showed up, Rick was there, you know,
yep.
I was there. You know, we always try to help. But it's just a tough business. And, you know, if you look at like the TBT, the basketball yeah. tournament was winner take all, mm-hmm. right? I talked to those guys too, and they're about break even, right? Because people have to pay to enter, right? And they have the games where they know they're going to get the biggest crowds.
Right.
And so is there something where it could be a winner take all type thing? And it's just because you guys want to get paid because it's a physical toll there, and
right.
it's a catch 22. How do you generate enough revenue to get the guys paid enough mm-hmm. to go through all the mm-hmm. all the things you have to do to stay in shape and play? I don't have a good answer, mm-hmm. you know. And hopefully, you know, TV will help because you guys are broadcast, mm-hmm. but there's just not a lot of money there.
Yeah, and even with TBT's transferring to football, they're going to start doing football tournaments.
Soccer,
now.
Yeah, I mean, soccer, yeah. Because I told them they should do soccer, right? Mm-hmm. Because they make their money the same way pickleball makes their money, mm-hmm. right? By pickleball doesn't make their money by people coming to watch the pro pickleball players. They make their money because every amateur thinks they're the world's greatest pickleball player. Every soccer player that ever played in college and every, they still want to compete. And so they pay all the entry fees. And so to play in the pickleball amateur, it's like golf where they have an open, mm-hmm. right? All those people pay their money to compete. And that's the difference versus the big three. TBT, they all pay entry fees. TBT soccer, they all pay entry fees. Mm-hmm. You know, pickleball amateur open, they all pay entry fees. That's where the money is made.
Oh, interesting. Didn't know that.
Right, so like maybe they do a thing where you have an open that gets to play the big three winner or gets to play big three and mm-hmm. you make money that way. Cause you know how guys are, right? Everybody thinks they can compete.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody thinks they, you know, they would have been an NBA player if yeah. only.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Only if.
Yeah. Only if, right. Cost plus drugs.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
I think that was something beautiful cause I know so many of my people, you know, especially what me and my little brother from in our city, a lot of people died of us growing up, not been able to afford medicine, not been able to have just the bare minimum things. So to create something where people can get their medicines at an affordable price, what was the thought into that process?
Just that, right?
Caring about people.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
It ain't rocket science, right?
What's that?
I said it ain't rocket science.
No, it's easy.
You care about people.
Yeah, and it's an easy business. We buy drugs, we sell drugs, right?
But what I'm familiar with that too.
Yeah. Not quite the same way, right?
Yeah, but a little bit different.
little different.
A little different.
Oh my God, right? I'm not gonna go there. But you see, you guys don't know where I grew up, man. I can tell you stories.
We'll talk about it all
night. Yeah, right. I can tell you stories. In this day and age, the people, you know, have to choose between their rent, their daycare,
or being healthy,
food, or their medications, right, is insane. And a big part of the reason why that shit happens is because there's these big companies that are just like, let's just squeeze wherever we can. And so what we decided is we're gonna create costplusdrugs.com. And what's gonna be different than all the other ones, if you go to costplusdrugs.com, and you put in the name of the medication that is prescribed by your doctor, right?
Yes.
And you put it in there, you'll see what our cost is. You'll see that we market up 15%, and you'll see what we're charging for the mail order side or where you can pick it up and do it locally, mm-hmm. right? But it's all transparent. Because before us, if you think about what happens, like you've had prescribed medications, you go to the doctor and you say, okay, you need to take, you know, this amoxicillin, right? And the next question out of their mouth is, okay, what pharmacy do you use?
Right.
And then they send it to the pharmacy and you get there, you have no idea what it costs. And if you don't have insurance or you have a high deductible, it's scary as shit. You know, we've all heard stories about people being in the pharmacy and somebody in front of us can't afford their meds because they didn't know what it was going to cost. So by only marketing up 15%, our prices are like dramatically lower. And it's cool, you know, you talk about being able to help people. I'm used to people coming up to me because of Shark Tank. I'm used to people coming up because of masks. Now people are like, wherever I'm at, hugging me, crying, right? Because, you know, and I get stories all the time. Like Isaiah Thomas, we have a mutual friend from Indiana where we both went to school, right? Older Isaiah Thomas, not number four. And so he called me up because we have a mutual friend who lost his insurance and this kid was in a car accident and just paralyzed. And this drug, Droxidopa, was gonna be $10,000 every 3 months. And I'm like, we don't carry it, but let me check. Turns out we could carry it. We go out and get it, $61 a month.
That's crazy, man. God.
I mean, I can tell you story after story, like people who like need imatinib, which
that's
is like
crazy.
A chemotherapy. Oh my God, chemotherapy drugs like down from $2,000 to $26, right? I mean, because, you know, when you walk in and you need this drug to survive, you pay whatever you gotta pay and they see you coming, right? But we've changed all that, it completely. Now, you know, they're using our website to see what the real price is. Mm-hmm. And so like, no, I'm not gonna pay that, I'll go to Cost Plus. And so this just changed the game. So it's been fun. It's exciting to be part of that.
That's beautiful. You know how many times as a kid growing up where we grew up that our grandparents or somebody elder telling us, baby, can you grab my medicine? Can you stop and grab my medicine for you? Because they couldn't afford it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They asking somebody, one of their kids or somebody to stop and grab their medicine. I heard that too many times in my life.
Mm. That's dope. Just renewed for season 15 of Shark Tank. Talk to us about that, the business behind it, the entertainment factor. Do you guys actually make money off some of these investments?
Like, yeah, so, you know, this is our 15th year. Next year, 16th year is gonna be my last year. So this is, I got one more year to go.
Breaking news.
Yeah, kind of.
Hanging the shoes up.
Yeah, right, it's time, right? But I love it because it sends the message the American dream is alive and well. Like, you guys are entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. You guys know what it takes to start a business. Mm-hmm. You guys have been through it, okay, you know, invest in this from other people. Now you start this and you run it. And I feel like in doing Shark Tank all these years, we've trained a generation of entrepreneurs, multiple generations of entrepreneurs, that if somebody can come from Iowa or Sacramento or wherever and show up on the carpet on Shark Tank and show their business and get a deal, that's gonna inspire
everybody.
Generations of kids, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what happens, right? So now we got people coming on. Yeah, I watched you when I was 10 years old, right? 15 years ago, I'm like, fuck. but we're helping them, right? And you know, I've invested in, I don't even know how many hundreds of companies. And on a cash basis, I'm down a little bit, but on a mark to market, meaning the companies are still in operation, I'm way up. Like, I've got this company, Beatbox Beverage, that I bought a third of the company for $1 million, and I've been diluted some, but they just did a raise at 200 million.
Oh, wow.
Right, okay. Dude Wipes, if you've ever seen them, right? I gave them, I don't even remember, like $250,000 for 20% of the company. They're doing $50 million a year. They'll do $100 million in sales. Awesome. They're killing it. Mm-hmm. So I've got all these companies that are killing it, but it's not, you know, they're not sold yet or anything. Mm-hmm. So on a mark-to-market basis, I'm up 10x.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. You're infamous on the show for kind of sniffing out the bullshit.
Yeah, for sure.
Is there anything you look at before they even start talking? Body language, eye contact?
I just listen to them, right?
Okay, that's it.
You can just tell, you know, and body language matters because the harder they have to try to sell, the worse the deal, right? Because like you guys don't have to sell this, right?
Good
guys
sell itself.
It sells itself, right? Guys know. They know what it's about. They know what you guys are about. And either you connect or you don't, right? And when someone walks in on Shark Tank, you can tell if they're trying too hard. Mm-hmm. Or I have this rule, the longer the backstory, the worse the deal. Meaning the minute you start telling me how hard it was for you, it's hard for every motherfucking entrepreneur, right? I don't need to hear your backstory. Tell me about your business, right? Tell me why you're gonna be successful. Tell me what's different about it. You know, how you stand out. Like you name a podcast, All the Smoke, you're gonna stand out, right? Everybody else tries to avoid, you guys just took it head on, right? And so that's how you're different, right? And that's what I look for. And I look for ideas where it's like, damn, why didn't I think of that? Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes I get those deals, but some in.
How would you describe your hoop game?
My hoop game?
Yeah,
I now see you jumping.
Since I've first seen you warm up before games, it's always been slow. So were you ever fast?
No, I bought the team when I was I was 41, right? And by the time you saw me, right? Yeah, I could play. I play against NBA players all the time, right? And I'm not good enough or, you know, athletic enough to like play, but I you could put me on a court anywhere, anytime and wouldn't embarrass myself.
So 40 and up league right now, you'll kill?
I'm 65 motherfucking 60 years old.
60 and up?
60 and up, I would kill, right?
I think you were 60.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Man, yeah. I was giving you a compliment.
Yeah, I'll tell you that, right?
I didn't know you were 60.
Looking yeah, 40 and up, I can stand in the corner and make shots, right? Yeah. But like you were talking about, like,
yesterday,
I played with my son and I couldn't walk for 2 days, right? You know, but I've been getting back in shape. And so, yeah.
Does like, he challenge you and talk shit to you like my kids do?
Oh, hell yes.
Like they know everything.
Yeah, but he's
you haven't done shit.
Three times and that, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so because it takes me a while. He always beats me the first game, right?
Gotta get warm.
You gotta get warm, gotta get right? And then warm. I take it to him.
I did not know you was in your 60s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so now it's a lot more painful than it used to be. But like where I still play today, you know, back in the day, it was like the only court where there were runs, right, that was open. And so I played against Karl Malone, Avery Johnson, Derek Harper, Magic Johnson, all these guys. And I'm not saying like I taught them anything, right? Yeah. Not at all.
Just on the court with them hooping.
Yeah, I'm just hooping, right? Yeah. I'm not embarrassing myself and they're passing me the ball, right?
That's
and I'm not
right
open
there,
for a reason. Open for a reason. Now I'm open for a reason, right? Yeah, Magic, stop shooting that shit, right? You're passing the ball.
Here. That says a lot, they pass you the ball. What is it that you have against Elon Musk?
I don't have anything against him, right? I think he's fucked up Twitter.
Yeah.
But the guy's a genius, right? He's like probably the best entrepreneur of our generation, right? So I'll give him his props.
He definitely fucked up Twitter.
Oh, but
nobody used it.
You can't.
He even said it's dropped.
Yeah, for sure. You can't, right? You're just going to go get shit. So unless I'm talking about Cost Plus or putting up props for somebody, you know, because you're just going to get shit about everything. It's a cesspool, right? But, you know, I drive a Tesla. You know, I'm not going to give him, I'll give him his props. He built some of the, you know, he's the
Twitter ain't shit, but I'm driving the Tesla.
You know, you can have, you know, multiple, you know.
Right.
Can't win them all. Are there any owners you have like a friendly rivalry or not even maybe not friendly, just kind of like a rivalry that you really enjoy beating or going up against?
Not really. I'm not really close to the other owners.
How could you be though?
So much different.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the young, like, I don't know Mattish very well. I just said hi to him, the new guy in Phoenix. You know, Ryan Smith, the guy in Utah is cool. We'll talk. Ballmer, we'll talk some, but it's always just NBA business. Mm-hmm. It's not like we're just hanging out or doing anything. I've never just gone out and hung out and, you know, I got my friends, you know.
I would want to win a championship for you so bad because I seen you party with the team when y'all won it.
I would
Oh, man. I know it'll be crazy.
See, that's Rocky Stemma thing or two, right?
Let me show you a little something.
Yeah, let me show you how it's done. Right? Oh, my God. That's Dirk about us going out and having fun.
Definitely. Who is Mark Cuban outside of business and basketball?
Just dad. Just a normal dude, man. A kid who grew up in Pittsburgh. Mm. You know, my best friends are still my high school friends and my college friends.
Love it.
I played rugby in college, and those are my guys forever. You know, I'm not out there trying to be cool to anybody. I just, I mean, I'm a lucky motherfucker, bro.
Yes,
you know, I'm just, you know, when I die, I want to come back as me.
That's dope. That's some real
you
shit.
You know who else said that? Allen Iverson.
Oh, he
says that all the time. He says, when I die, I want to come back as me. Mm-hmm. I feel the same
facts.
Way.
Yeah, that's facts.
Dope. That's really dope. Balancing fatherhood and any advice you give your kids? Did they listen to?
No,
I'm in the same boat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you ate. Y'all pockets different.
Oh, way different.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm just talking
this
about
kid,
just,
what this kid is coming with.
I'm talking about in one ear, out the other.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who I am. Yeah. Like, they find things, you know. Oh, everybody else kisses your ass, Dad. We're not going to, you know. It's just like, I've got a 20-year-old daughter, a 17-year-old daughter, and a 14-year-old son. The 14-year-old son is into sports, right? Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So it'll be like, by the time I look at my phone, I'll have texts. Is Kyrie playing tonight? Right? Why didn't we get James Harden? Mm-hmm. Right? We could have made a better deal for James Harden. I took him into the war room on draft night, and he was in heaven, right? Because we had all these deals that we were doing and everything. And I'd go, Jake, you good with this deal? And
he'd
go, I don't know. Let me think. Yeah, okay, I'm good with that deal. So my 14-year-old, I'm close to, and it's really easy. My middle daughter's athlete, the real athlete, she's a rower, and she's going on her first trip she doesn't like me talk about it, but yeah, she's getting recruited and everything. And then my oldest they're all super smart, but yeah, I try.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
Can you see 14-year-old running the team one day?
No, I wouldn't put them through it, right? I wouldn't put them through it. Because you know, he's 14, and I've talked to all of them about it, and they're like, I don't know, but like, I'm 65, right? And 10 years, he's still only 24.
Yeah.
And my oldest is still only 30, and that's not, you know, you're not gonna learn it. And then, am I gonna be 85 trying to turn it? No, I don't want that to be me, right? So,
interesting.
You know, I'll bring in somebody at some point, but Nico does a great job. Sint Marshall does a great job. No, Nico's, he's just changed us dramatically. I love the guy. Sint Marshall changed us dramatically. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it goes back to like what we said about the television side of it. Like if the television doesn't kick in, because I know media, I know digital, I know all that shit cold, right? You got to bring in, you know, some other investors that know like real estate and development, because that's where the money is going to be coming in from potentially, mm-hmm. right? And definitely, you know, you look at Golden State, how can they afford all that? Because they own everything, mm-hmm. right? And they do all the development around there, and you see what Ballmer's mm-hmm. doing. The money that they see coming in isn't from the local TV deal, mm-hmm. right? Because Bally's is falling apart. You gotta have, and I'm not a real estate guy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I just want the Mavs to win. So if I have to bring in a partner who knows that shit, I'm fine with that. I just want the Mavs to win.
Yeah. Speak to the importance of hiring Cynthia Marshall.
She's a beast. She's she's smart, she's driven. She understands business. She knows what she doesn't know. And the things she's good at, she's great at. You know, I think what I'm a big believer in for all my businesses, let me take a step back. What's missing in almost all businesses this day and age, what's really, really changed in business is the number one product for every business has got to be trust. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about cost plus drugs. You got to trust us. And we do that through transparency. And I think with trust, you can connect to your customers. And to get trust, your customers want your workforce to look like them.
Representation.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like if I see somebody who walks in like me, right? Or I see someone from Pittsburgh, I know whatever, the door is open for trust, mm-hmm. right? If there's nobody that looks like me or there's nobody that looks like you or you, it's like, okay, what's up,
right?
But if I see somebody that I can connect to, it may not guarantee trust, but you're at least going to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynt gets that. And so when you look at our workforce and you look at how she's trained and when you look at how she's developed trust among our customers, she knows, she gets it. She gets it, right? Mm-hmm. And I wish I had people across all my businesses that I've invested in as smart as her. And so she's really been a godsend from that perspective, because she's good at business. And she understands how to build trust. Because I don't care what kind of company, if it's a podcast, no matter what it is, if you don't have trust, you don't have a business.
Mm-hmm. Before working for you, and probably still is, Nico is probably has the most influence over basketball, but under the radar.
Oh yeah.
Anybody.
Oh, anybody.
I'm talking about from our era to the era, to now.
Oh yeah, I remember he'd come in, like going back to 2003 when he started at Nike, right around then, right? And I'd be like, who's this dude? And everybody like, oh, that's Nico.
And not one person has a bad word.
Not a damn thing, right? But
also too, if you got to think, you're doing some shit if you can go by just one name, your first name.
Right, yeah, right, yeah. You know you're doing something right.
But your last name.
If it's just Nico.
Right.
No, I love Nico, man. He's changed. He's smart. He gets the work done and he's prepared.
Yeah.
He doesn't wing anything, man. He calls himself the silent assassin.
I love it. Well, Mark, we appreciate your time. Before we get you out of here, we got a few quick hitters. So first thing to come to mind, let us know. Biggest risk you've ever taken?
Dancing with the Stars. I could have flopped bad, right? Because I'm not a big risk taker.
Okay.
Like I come in prepared. Mm-hmm. I do the work, mm-hmm. Bobby Knight, the old school coach of Indiana, used to have this saying that he'd talk about. He goes, everybody's got the will to win, but it's only those with the will to prepare that win. And that's the way I approach business. Because mm-hmm. business is the ultimate sport. You compete, you guys know, right? Mm-hmm. In basketball, 82 games, 30 teams, right? How many podcasts are there?
Mm-hmm. Lots billion. Of them.
You compete against everybody, and those mm-hmm. competitive juice takes over. So I always look at business as the ultimate sport, but you got to be prepared. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get to my question, but are you an action junkie?
Action junkie? No, I'm terrified of heights, man. Okay. You can't. Right. Yeah.
What's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure is just eating like a pig. But what I like to do, just go shoot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just get shots up. Yeah. Like when I'm stressed, that ball going through the net, that takes your mind off of everything.
I like that. Still at your age, I love it. Worst piece of advice you've ever heard?
Oh, damn. one more round won't hurt.
Take that as you may.
One round won't hurt. Yeah, that's classic.
Best piece of advice you've heard been given. Be nice.
Be nice and... Today is the youngest you're ever going to be. Live like it. My dad would tell me that all the time. Nice. Yeah.
Dallas Mavericks all-time starting five.
Dirk, Tyson at the center, Rolando, Derek, and I'll go with Mark Aguirre.
Rolando Blackman.
Yeah.
If y'all don't know who he's talking about.
Yeah.
He was married to Jenny Jones, right? The lady that was on TV that used to have the talk show. I think he was.
Rolando?
Yeah, wasn't he?
I don't think. Mm. On his talk show? No, I don't.
No, his wife. Oh, maybe I'm tripping.
Yeah, I don't know.
Most trusted person in your contact list if you need some advice on any type of business?
My wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she'll tell me the truth on anything and everything. And then probably Todd, business, probably my partner, Todd Wagner, the guy we did the streaming business with. Mm-hmm. We grew up in this together and he'll always tell me the facts. Yeah, he won't fuck with me.
Need that.
Something you wish you were better at?
Jumping. I dunked for the first time when I was 37 years old.
Oh, that's dope.
37 years old, that's dope. Mm. Yeah.
Childhood crush?
Farrah Fawcett.
Ooh,
Farrah Fawcett. Call. Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Oh, damn. Ted Turner, Warren Buffett, probably Elon, mm-hmm. Dirk, and Farrah Fawcett.
Nice, nice.
There you go.
Nice. Okay, if you could see one guest on All the Smoke, who would it be?
But
you have to help us get your answer on the show.
Oh, who would be?
You know, you got a hell of a Rolodex too.
Yep. Did you hear that last part?
Yeah.
Well, make sure you heard the last
part. You guys had Obama on?
No.
No.
You should have Obama. You know what? I'll tell you my quick Obama
story. You have
story.
To help us get him on the show.
I'll put in a word.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. We appreciate it.
So we were in, I was in Nico's office with Finn and a bunch of guys, and Obama calls me, right, about a charity thing, you know, which you'd expect. No big deal, right? I'm like, hey, this is Obama. You know, they're like, cool, or everything. And so hang up. It was only like a 2-minute conversation. And then I put my phone in my pocket. And you know, Obama's got a distinct voice, right? All of a sudden I hear, hello? Hello? I butt dialed Obama. And you go, those guys are like, ah!
Yeah, that's fire. That's fire.
Obama, I hope you heard that. We need you.
Yes,
come on.
But Mark, we want to thank you obviously for your time, but also, yes. I mean, for all the great stuff you do across the board. It's not just sports with you. It's life. Like you said, you know, being nice to people. You never know who is who and how you can help people. And I think that the stuff you do in sports and business really helps people's lives, man. We appreciate you for that. Well, that's a wrap. Mark Cuban, you can catch us on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.